Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Bishop Nathan, it's good to have you with us this morning. And now I hand over to you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Conley. It's my joy always to speak to people from St. James, because when I appeared in the UK in 1996, the first church, when you work on Sunday, when you look and everybody in the church is white, that was a surprise. So this, I can never forget that time. It leaves a lot of blessings on my heart. So I'll quickly go to Psalm 23. And I have been praying that God will open your heart's ears, that you get ready to understand this psalm as I do. And I pray that it blesses you as it does bless me. There are unique things about Psalm 23. One of the unique things is that Psalm 23 is basically, it's the sheep talking. The sheep itself is talking. So while other psalms, they will say this psalm is like this, here it's the sheep talking. And as you know, in the Bible, there aren't many places where animals talk. Especially to you Westerners, animals don't talk a lot. But to us Africans, especially Rwandans who come from the animistic background, animals used to talk. And so we are going to see the sheep talking. And we can liken this sheep to a person or to a Christian like you and me. So we are going to divide this psalm into some portions, like three portions. We'll begin with verse 1. In verse 1, you see a sheep. And as we talk, I want you to imagine. You know, I am not approaching this psalm as a theologian. No. I'm not using it as a scholar, but I'm using it as a Christian, and the way it blesses me, that's my prayer that that same spirit will get to you. So I want you to imagine the sheep maybe standing on the top of a hill, standing somewhere, and it makes a strong statement, and it is talking maybe to fellow sheep. It begins by saying, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." What the sheep is doing, it is introducing its great shepherd. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, and since he's my shepherd, I am never going to be in need." And when you see verse 2 and verse 3, basically the sheep is talking about the skills of its shepherd. He makes me lie in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters, and he refreshes my soul. So it is talking about the skills. My shepherd knows how to graze me. He knows where the green pastures are. He knows where still waters are. He does not take me to, flowing waters are not good for animals. And the reason this psalm blesses me, for you who have heard my testimony, I was brought up by parents who are cattle keepers. And we kept cows in a traditional way that I lived with cows literally when I was growing up. Like if a cow was sick or had lost its mother, my parents would bring that calf inside our house and would share milk with it, would look after it. So it's kind of like I'm really a relative to the cows, not necessarily the sheep. Maybe instead of saying sheep, we can say cow, because I relate to it so easily. But all these animals are the same, so we will carry it on from there. So I know what it means to graze, take a cow into the green pastures, take them beside the quiet water so that they can drink and be refreshed. And that's why he says he refreshes my soul. Because when cows have been grazing, eating all the dry grass during the day, and during lunchtime, you take them to where the water is, they drink and they feel good. They really drink and you see them satisfied. And while the cows are drinking, they are words we would use as shepherds to make sure that the cow drink more, that they feel comforted, they feel happy, they don't feel pressured or scared. Because many times animals would lay or stay where the water is so they can catch the prey easily. But there, that's where the shepherd would make a difference. While our cows drank, we would sound some words in Rwandan, we would say, Shomahobarugaba, Shomahobund, Bundakatam Gotomera. These words mean, you know, drink some more. I'm standing around here. I am guarding you. Be comfortable. You know, that's what the words of the shepherd to the cow, to make sure they drink more. But if you jump to verse 4 stands out. It's like a verse that is brought from somewhere else, and it is not connected to the first, second, and third verse. Because in verse 4, the sheep turns to itself and begins to speak about its life, its fears, and its worries, and its comfort. It says, though I walk through the darkest valley, or the valley, or the shadow of something. My English is failing. Though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you were with me. Your Lord and your staff, they comfort me. This is a detailed verse, full of riches and full of the powerful words being spoken by the sheep while the sheep is talking about its shepherd. It says, even if I walk in the valley of death, for all of us do walk in darkest valleys. Right now, the whole world is walking in the dark valley of coronavirus. Here in Rwanda, the fear is so high. We are afraid. We don't know what our kids are going to bring home. Wives don't know how the husband is going to come back in the evening. Is he going to come back with the disease? Is he going to come back okay? Our friends who travel, we don't know if they're going to come back or if they're going to be quarantined where they are because of the disease. So we are all walking in that dark valley and we don't know what tomorrow brings. But then the sheep says, I will fear no evil, for you were with me. Your Lord and your staff, they comfort me. Here, what I'm talking about, you know, the whole world is full of fear of the unknown. We don't know what is going to happen because of coronavirus. In Rwanda, our economy is down. The government is doing whatever they can to bring back the economy. And I think that's the same thing that is happening in UK, with the government working hard to make sure the economy doesn't collapse. But all of us, the economists are full of fear. Businessmen are full of fear. And people like Richard and me who work in an NGO, we don't know what tomorrow has. So there is that fear of tomorrow. But the sheep here says, I will not fear even what tomorrow has. I will not fear that darkest valley, because of one reason. My shepherd is with me. He walks with me, stays with me, he's around me, He does not go away. The Bible says, he who watches over Israel does not slumber. He does not sleep at all. For he's watching over a precious person who is redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that is you and me. In this verse 4, it is a challenge also. You know, I don't know about UK, but in Rwanda recently, a few years ago, we had prosperity preachers show up. And they say, you know, Christians don't, when Christians suffer, that means they don't have faith. When you believe in Jesus, you don't get sick. Your sicknesses immediately go away. When you believe in Jesus, you don't have, you know, all those sorts of things. Verse 4, there is nowhere in the Bible where the Bible says, when you are in the world, you'll never have challenges. You'll never be sick. You'll never be hungry. You'll never face coronavirus. In fact, in the Anglican Church, when we are baptizing people, we say, you pledge to fight. I don't know how you say it in English, but in Rwandan, we say, you fight against flesh, against Satan, and against this world and its worldly passions and things like that. So when we are in the world, these issues do come. We face pain. We lose our loved ones. Sorrow do show up in different ways. There are times when we are not paid, even when we've worked hard. But the Bible says here in verse 4, I'll fear no evil, for he is with me. Meaning, even when we are in trouble, he's standing beside us. Even when we are crying, he's standing beside us, helping to wipe away our tears. So verse 4 is a very powerful verse. But if we jump very quickly and we go to verse 5 too, you prepare a table in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. This psalm, and especially this verse, reminds me, after we would take our cows drinking, one shepherd would go in front. And if you go in front of cows, our father had taught us some words we would speak that cows would stand up and all of them follow the shepherd who is calling. From the youngest cow to the oldest, all we would do is you stand in a visible place and say, gwa, gwa. Gua. Now, that word, I don't know what it means, but my father taught it to me up to today. It's not a Rwandan word. I think it is a cow language or something like that. But he would stand up and say, gua, gua. And all cows would stand up and follow you as the shepherd. And you'd lead them to where you want them to go. So I remember after they would be drinking water around noontime. You remember in the tropics, it is very hot. On a hot day, and after we would lead them again up on the top of the mountain, on the top of the hills, for you who know Rwanda or Western Uganda. And on the top of the hills, it is always flat. And in Rwandan, on the top of the hill, we call it Umurambi, Umurambi, which basically means table. And here the shepherd, the sheep, is saying, he leads me to that table. And after we'd get the cows on the top of the hill, you'd let them graze or just bend and rest a bit. And then the shepherd or the cow keeper would climb a tree. You sit in that tree and watch your cows while they rest or eat. And that time, all animals would know that the shepherd is somewhere watching. And remember, we were cow keepers who were different from the shepherds in Israel. We did not carry a load. Instead of a rod, we carried a stick. And instead of a staff, we carried a spear. So we would be armed, ready to fight off anybody that would come to attack our cows. Symbolically, that's what the shepherd is to you and me. Our shepherd is God. And he is armed. He says, I will be with you in verse 4. He's with you even when you are in tears. He's there and he's armed, ready to defend you. Even when you are not happy, even when you are walking in the darkest, darkest, dark valley of death, he is with you ready to defend you. And then he concludes verse 6. He concludes it with worship. He just breaks in worship. When he thinks about the goodness of that shepherd, when he looks at the care of his shepherd, when he looks at how he's cared for him over the years, he can't help it but break in worship by saying, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I pray to dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So he concludes when he thought about his shepherd, when he meditates about what his shepherd does, and when he begins to talk about his goodness, his care, his mercy, how he follows him every day, he can't help but break in praise and in worship. And Peter, that's our shepherd. That's who he is to you and to me, even when we are walking in this world that has turned into a shadow of death these days. A shepherd is with us, and that can comfort us. So thank you so much. Over to you again, Peter.
Thank you, Nathan, very much for sharing that with us this morning. Upstairs room. Send